Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Radio program for Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. Thank you so much for being with us this evening. Our subject tonight, Us Lifting Us in 2020. What must we accomplish in this new decade? Stay with us as we discuss this exciting and interesting topic. Once again to Dare to Win. Yes, we are the drum, calling our people to self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Again, welcome to Dare to Win. This is the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering discussion about the economic plight of our people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and contribute to our wholeness. Thank you for being with us this evening. I am Sister Nanana, and I'll be your host this evening on Dare to Win. To join the conversation, please call 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And press the number 1 on your keypad if you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you want to join us via your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. And click on the Ulu Radio tab, and then click where it says Listen Live. Once again, this is the place where we address many timely and important topics concerning our community. And this evening, we are going to be talking about Us Lifting Us in the year 2020. What must we accomplish in this new decade? and to guide us through this topic and to help us to understand the depth and the importance of this topic. We're joined this evening by Baba Hakima Kenyama, who is one of the founding and original members of Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, and also serves as the guiding elder for the ULU Executive Board. Thank you for being with us this evening, Baba Hakima. Would you care to greet the audience?
Yes, I sure would, and as always, it's good being back on the Thursday evening broadcast. You know, I've only been on a few, but in terms of people hearing my voice, but I think I've only missed two since I've beginning as a listener, so I generally prefer to be on the listening end, but, you know, I'm going to have fun tonight with the mic in my hand, so to speak. But I just want to thank brothers and sisters who are joining us. And I want to remind all the brothers and sisters that these broadcasts are recorded and archived on the Blog Talk platform. So if you like what you're hearing or make the decision to share it with family and friends, you know, you can simply bring up the broadcast and capture the URL and forward it to family and friends and have them engage in the conversation, even though it may be over, but the fruits of the conversation as well. But I'm glad to be with you this evening, Nanana, and hopefully we'll have a very fruitful conversation and impart some information and knowledge, and hopefully we'll have a few of the family to call in and add to the richness of the conversation.
Oh, definitely so. I'm sure that we will have some questions and some comments. This is a very timely subject. We're talking about what to move forward to in the year 2020. And Baba Hakima, I dare say that you probably have set a record in terms of having missed only two of the Dare to Win broadcasts. So you're definitely a power supporter. We appreciate having you, for sure.
Good. But I've learned along the way. So, you know, I benefited in no small way.
Well, you know, they say you receive back what you give, what you put in. So, yeah.
Good.
All righty. Well, let's move on with our topic this evening. What we're talking about is Us Lifting Us in 2020. And what must we accomplish in this new decade? So to help get us started on this subject, Baba Hakima, would you start out by telling us what is Us Lifting Us and tell us about its plans for 2020?
Ashe, well, the secret is in the name, really, Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. And the extension, of course, is LLC. We're a limited liability company. But the essence of ULU can be captured in, how should I say it, if any of us would go among our people and ask the simple question, do you think we should control the economics of our community? And I would dare say upwards of 90% of our people without hesitation would say yes. Yes, we should control the economics of our community. But if you ask the follow-up question, how do you think we should do that? You know, there's not a lot of certainty in terms of how that might be done. Generally, people would say, well, we need to support our black businesses. We need to go into business in a more rapid and robust manner. But in terms of any specifics other than that, for the most part, we really do not have the answers. And so Us Lifting Us comes into existence as an institution that seeks to answer that question in an emphatic way. And we came into existence legally in 2013 in our final form, but we started the discussion in a study group in 2011. But the essence is Us Lifting Us is an economic development cooperative. We are a co-op, and our mission evolves around the answer to that question: how can we gain control of the economics of our community? We know that it must be incrementally, but what are the tools, what are the mechanisms, what are the ways by which we can gain greater economic control of our community, and not only just gain economic control, but exercise power and authority in that control. So the essence of ULU in terms of what it is an economic development cooperative, and by the way, it's not just local to the U.S., it's global, and it invites individuals and institutions to become a part and a stakeholder in the process.
All right. I really appreciate the piece that you mentioned around exercising power and authority, and having a tool such as ULU to bring us to the point where we truly are exercising power and authority through growth in the economic arena. And I'm thinking that oftentimes people within the community perhaps don't have a real good grasp of how this economic format is related to power and authority, and how that can be beneficial to us. And so just those two words that you mentioned were very impactful for me. So continuing to move forward, Baba Hakima, can you give us a little bit more detail about what those plans are for the year 2020 coming up? Well, we're already in 2020.
Yeah, we're already in 2020.
Yeah,
you know,
we're here.
It almost felt like it rushed in. It was here before I was ready for it, maybe. But there is, I think, around the planet, some excitement about this new decade, 2020. In the U.S., of course, there's a lot of discussion around the national elections for president and some other seats. But around the planet, I think every time the calendar turns or the clock turns and we come into a new decade, people are encouraged to make plans. And I'm certainly looking forward to what we can accomplish in the next 10 years. But in 2020, in particular, ULU and the board in particular has plans, some aggressive plans for concrete development in this coming year. And of course, before I go into any of that, in March of this year, we repeat, as we do every year, with our international members meeting and convention that will be hosted by ULU members here in Atlanta. And the dates for that is March 13th, 14th, and 15th. And for all members who are on the listening in on this broadcast, or who may happen to listen to the recording, we want to encourage all of our members to register and get involved now. in making your plans to come to Atlanta again for March 13th, 14th, and 15th. And, you know, your hotel plans, your travel plans, whatever you need to do to be in the place. And it's exciting because ULU is a democratic process, one member, one vote. And in each March, we take the opportunity to exercise power and authority as individual members of the co-op by nominating other members or maybe even being nominated for a board position, a governing position, to be at the leadership and at the helm of running our global co-op. So that's certainly the highlight for the most part for 2020. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the highlight. There may be some things that may jump up and surprise us and have us jumping for joy. Some other things that we may accomplish, but we know that every year the March members meeting and convention is a central part of what we do every year. And this year being 2020 is very important because we want to continue to grow, but more than continue to grow in terms of size, but we want to also grow in terms of our capacity to perform. It's said that the if you're building a skyscraper, the taller the plans are for the building, then the wider the base has to be and the deeper the base has to be. Mm-hmm. So you dare not build a skyscraper and then have a shallow base. You won't have the support you need. So much of our plans for 2020 have to do with both growth externally in terms of bringing in new members, but also growth in terms of our capacity to perform and to support and to control the resources that we aggregate, the skills, the ideas, the knowledge, the labor, the capital that we aggregate as a co-op. We want to grow in our expertise, our skills at managing that, and to support the external growth. So 2020 is really real important to us because if we look at the decade in terms of what's possible for us as African people, and I'll just back up and say this. One of the things that excites me is that it's generally recognized that African people are the fastest growing people on the planet. We're a little over a billion people. And at our rate of growth, we will outstrip every other people that we can identify. We will become larger than the Chinese, larger than the Indians, the nation of India. In terms of our global presence, we're probably the second largest group on the planet. But at the rate of our growth, we will outgrow every other people on the planet. And what we don't want to do is to be the largest self-identified group on the planet and be under the control and domination of other people. So it's incumbent upon us in this decade to perfect ways that incrementally we can gain greater and greater and greater control, not only of our local communities, but our regional communities, our global community, our family. Mm-hmm. And so what we're looking for in 2020 is firming up our foundation. If we got to dig deeper, if we got to dig wider, that's what we do. But the main thing is to enfold more and more of our members in already standing committees, maybe create some new committees or cells of administration and get very focused and directed in terms of the work that we have to do to support ULU members and and in the broader context, our mission and vision. So we have even, and I don't want to announce them at this point, but we've set some benchmarks, some very aggressive benchmarks in terms of growth and in terms of internal capacity. And so 2020 is like the second leg. You know, what we've done so far is to get to where we are today. And we've had some challenges and some opportunities to grow in 2019. And so 2020 represents the passing of the baton from previous engagements to new engagements, and mm-hmm. and picking up the pace and passing the baton to possibly other new board members in March.
Okay.
We will certainly look forward to that. So that's what we look forward to in 2020. You know, the beginning, a new beginning in anticipation of some great things in this decade.
Let me ask you this, Baba Hakima. You're talking mm-hmm. about growth in 2020, and you know, specifically that ULU is looking at growth in terms of the membership and in some other ways. What comes to mind for me is the UDCs, the mm-hmm. ULU-based communities. And so would you just take a moment and speak to that, and what is ULU looking to do in terms of the UDCs in the year 2020?
Yeah, we really want to establish a firm foundation for creating UBCs and supporting UBCs. Now, UBCs are where we can identify a cluster of members in a specific geographic area, a town, a county, an area. And we want to bring those members together. In most cases, we want to have them be close enough to actually come together face-to-face. It may not be that every time they come together it's face-to-face, but we want to strategically look at geographic areas and think through a strategy of how we position ourselves to incrementally gain a foothold and some measure of economic control in that specific geographic area. And we do that by bringing our members together who are already existing members and new members, and placing them in organized ULU communities at the base, in other words, local. And, for instance, here in Atlanta, we could have 2, 3, 4, 5 UBCs because we have that many identified neighborhoods or community of concentration of black African people on the west side and east side, the northwest side, and, you know, several counties and townships around Atlanta. And that's the case in almost every place. But we want to take advantage of the skills and the resources that our members have wherever they are in the world, in Canada, in Europe, in Africa, East and West, Caribbean, and organize our members into well-defined units of family-centered economics. In other words, to learn our culture, to teach our culture, to represent the culture. And what we're talking about in terms of the economic culture that we're developing, we call it Ujamaa, or family-centered economics. And so the UBC represents an exciting opportunity for people, brothers and sisters, to participate as members in a collective locally. And ultimately, mm-hmm. we want those members to be at the base of any co-op businesses that we produce so that our employees come from that community. That community helps to mold and shape the kinds of businesses that we develop and implant in those communities. And they point to the nonprofits in the community that the co-ops would support. So there is it allows us to utilize more of our resources other than the board and the standing committees that we have. So we're also prepared to utilize the rich resource deposits in our local communities, and that's through the UBCs.
Well, that sounds exciting. It really does, that the UBCs will provide an opportunity for members in various geographic areas to come together, to pool their knowledge, their expertise, to learn and grow together around this whole subject of Ujamaa, the family-centered economics, and then to be able to support an Ulu business within that geographic area. So I judge that that's really an exciting opportunity, and I look forward to seeing the UBC starting to form in every area around the globe, since Ulu is a global economic engine. It truly is. So we're going to take a short music break here, and then we'll come back and continue to address this subject of Us Lifting Us in 2020. What must we accomplish in this new decade? So stick and stay with us, and we will be back in about 2 minutes. Thank you. We're back with you once again. This is Dare to Win, the place where we have a sober conversation about how to build and maintain the machinery for economic self-determination and pass it forward to future generations. I'm Sister Nanana, and I'm your host this evening on this Thursday night broadcast. for Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. Thank you so much for being with us. And if you would care to join the conversation, you can do so by dialing 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. And just press the number 1 on your keypad, and that will alert us that you want to make a comment or ask a question. So Baba Hakima Kenyama, one of the founding members of Us Lifting Us, is with us this evening, and we're talking about Us Lifting Us in 2020 and what must we accomplish in this new decade. So Baba Hakima, you started us out with a good broad base of understanding that in the year 2020, ULU is looking to make growth, particularly in certain areas, membership. You talked about the UBCs, capacity building, so that ULU can handle a wide spectrum of tasks and responsibilities. What else can you share with us? You know, there's lots of excitement and talk about 2020 as the start of this new decade. So what would you and ULU say about what must be accomplished specifically within our community and with our people over these next 10 years, if you were to maybe even project until the end of the decade, what would be some of the things that you see that definitely in your mind need to be accomplished and need to come about?
I guess we would say a lot, but that needs to be accomplished. But then we want to focus on some specifics, and some specifics that would give us the capacity to address what we would say is a lot. It's said that more than $1 trillion a year flows through the hands of Africans in America. And we will look at our people globally, of course, much, much more. But that's only a hint at the wealth that we have. But when we look at the skills, the talents, the raw energy, the ingenuity of our people, it's much more in terms of, if we had to put a dollar value on it, than $1 trillion a year that flows through through our community, through our fingers. And what we want to focus on in ULU and in other formations is being able to capture and redirect some of the flow of economic activity and other resources, and to divert them into a system or process that we control, so that we're able to put those resources in a pattern of how it affects a community, such that, again, incrementally, we're strengthening the communities in which we live and strengthening the capacity that we have from community to community to have an exchange and ultimately a global exchange and a global economy. Just to ask our brothers and sisters who may be on the call to just open your minds and think of what it would mean if members of the community that you lived in, many of them were actually owners or had an ownership stake in some of the businesses that were in your community, and that would be a trend that more and more of the businesses that operate in your community, there was an opportunity for members who lived in the community to actually be stakeholders. In other words, be owners in those enterprises. The supermarkets that need to appear in our community, the shopping centers that other for other products, goods, and services, service businesses, any number of other types of businesses and capacities that people were actually able to be a stakeholder. When people are a stakeholder, then they have an incentive to do business with those institutions, to participate in other ways with those institutions. And then when those institutions have strategic or otherwise transactional relationships with other black institutions in the community, and it's known, then we produce a kind of synergy that is reciprocal. In other words, you would walk past a Korean business, a European business, a Jewish business, a Pakistani business to do business with your own business. So it gives us another reason to direct our dollars in the way that we already know that we should, but it's an additional incentive where you are a stakeholder and you have an opportunity to profit with others collectively from our success. So much of what we do in reflecting, well, we talked about it a little earlier, but what much of what we ought to do and plan to do in this decade, in the early stages of this decade, is to continue to lay those tracks, to continue to build those platforms. And one of the things I forgot to mention earlier in terms of some of the things that we really need to do, and brothers and sisters who are listening on the call can help us do that very well, is to expose Us Lifting Us to people that they know in the community. Us Lifting Us seems to be one of the best kept secrets in our community. We haven't done the very best job of promoting ourselves, the co-op. So it's almost virgin territory where very, very little people know about Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, even though we have hundreds of members. But, you know, with so much noise going on, competition for the minds of our people, we still have much work to do in terms of creating recognition of Us Lifting Us in our communities. But
I see. Mm-hmm.
One of the crimes we continue to commit, and I want to say it in that strong vein, I think it's a crime. When a brother, one of our very prolific speakers in the African community in America, and he has seminars around in Europe and in Africa as well, George Frazier with FrazierNet. He says something that he says it in a joking manner, but it has a lot of truth to it. He said God told him to tell us that God's not giving us anymore. Because God says to George Frazier that he's already given us all that we need. So you're not going to give us anymore. And so it's incumbent upon us to recognize who we are as African people in the world. Yes, we are oppressed, we're dominated, we're exploited, and any number of things. But we are still a rich people in terms of resources. And everything that anyone else has accomplished or even thought about accomplishing, we have the capacity to do simply through making the decision that is on us to do and developing the kind of thinking that produces results that we want. You know, Sister Nun, I use a lot of analogies, and if you don't mind, if we got time, I'd like to use this one. I saw, and most of us have seen, there are leagues, competition, with people who build robots and put them in the ring to fight against each other. I don't know if you've seen them, but I know the young people have seen them. In other words, as a budding engineer, you build a robot, and it's a fighting robot on wheels and with tentacles that smash the other ones, and you put them in this cage, and you fight against each other, and the prize money is involved as well. And so the robot that wins the prize and goes on in the competition. But the point I want to make is that you don't put your ideas in the ring. You don't put your hopes in the ring. You put your finished product in the ring to compete. And hopefully you have an opportunity, if you survive and you can pull the pieces back together, to improve it and to put it back in the ring. But the point I want to make is that it doesn't matter about our good ideas or our intentions. We have to build the machinery that allows us to get into the ring. This is commerce and trade and economics, and to win, not only to survive, but ultimately to win. And so as an analogy, just think of us from an economic perspective having to put together, build the, in our case, it wouldn't be the robot, it's the economic model, and I think you use the term economic engine or catalyst and platform that allows us to compete in local commerce, regional commerce, national commerce, and global commerce as well. So that may be a roundabout way of expressing some of the targets for our development in the coming years, short years. But also in our presentation on our website, unless you want to stop me, there is a specific goal.
Yeah, I do,
goal.
Baba Hakeem, because okay. we have a couple of our callers who would to either ask a question or make a comment.
Good.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go to the caller. Last four digits, 3440. Would you state your name and tell us where you're calling from?
Yes, greetings. This is Brother Shabaka, and I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland. I really apologize if you hear a lot of background noise. I'm at the airport on my way to Atlanta and point south, but I couldn't help in tuning in, listening to the conversation. And I just happened to run across some information that Baba spoke about a little area, just to give some comparison about the $1.3 trillion it said that we spend in this country. This is the gross domestic product of Nigeria last few years. In 2018, the gross domestic product was $398 billion. In 2017, $376 billion. Billion, not trillion, now billion. And in 2016, $405 billion. Now, if you put those all together, it will still be less than the amount of money that 40 to 45 million people of African descent here in the U.S. spend annually. And Nigeria is a country of nearly 200 million people. I wanted to give some contrast for the listening audience that we're not talking about a small piece of change that we spend each year. We're not managing the money, as I think, Baba, you hinted to, and as a consequence, that money that we spend go out, and unfortunately, it doesn't return. Could you maybe say something about that, and I'll cut off and listen to your response. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Yes. Did you have a response on that, Baba Hakima?
Yes. That gives quite a contrast because the population of Nigeria, as big as it is, and so it really places a greater responsibility on those of us who are fortunate enough to live in the belly of the beast to get the resources, organize them, and package them in a way to allow us to be stronger globally. So thanks for that contrast and those figures, Brother Shabaka. You said there was
all
another
right.
caller as well?
Yes, we have caller last four digits 1249. 1249. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Yes, greetings. This is Brother Eric calling from Georgia, calling from down the road in LaGrange, Georgia.
Thank you, Brother Eric. Glad to have you.
Hey. Good to hear your voice again, Baba Hakima. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year to you. Go and wash that dirt from under your fingers. You know, you're a farmer, so I know you got a lot of dirt on your hands.
Yeah, not yet. I'll have it in a couple of weeks. But what I wanted to, I was just hanging out with you guys, just listening to the broadcast, and I just basically have one question that's a two-part question that I want you to seriously consider and seriously answer.
Thank you.
What did you learn, what did you all learn from your Cafe Ulu experience? And based on what you learned, what do you plan on doing different as you go forward? I heard a lot of talk about the 2020 plans and things. So if you can address that and take as much time as you need.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, and that's very critical. It's almost, there's a saying that you don't build your shield on the battlefield. And what we did strategically is we got on the battlefield in terms of opening a business, and we really had not put in place the controls and safeguards that will allow us to steer the business successfully, including, you know, a good site analysis. We didn't know enough about the location, and there were certain other things that were not in place. So the things that we learned that I think will help fortify us for success in the future is understanding the importance of building capacity internally before you take on an external project. And not only building that capacity such that you can hatch the egg or bring this new creature into existence, but have the capacity to nurture it and to ensure as best you can it's a growth in the direction that you want it to. And so the lesson is internal capacity that goes towards the board, the committees, all the administrative components, having to deal with marketing, research, accounting, all of the areas. So Cafe Ulu gave us a good opportunity to learn some very important lessons.
And one last thing, just you mentioned internal capacity.
Yes.
And that jumped out because that's important, and I think what you're defining, what you were thinking about internal capacity, and what I'm thinking about internal capacity from a cooperative practitioner point of view. Just want to kind of close the gap on that, because I know I heard you earlier in the conversation. You mentioned building those capacities as far as skill sets and technical expertise and all of that nature. But of course, do understand that in a cooperative environment, internal capacity, because within a co-op, the members also uses its products and services. So internal capacity also should always going forward be defined as having the community within the co-op that can support the co-op, you know, even without any external support. So I just wanted to mention that. And thank you for your answer.
I appreciate you being in place to not only express that, but to give continuous guidance. So thank you for that.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. And let's see. Caller, last four digits, 5080. Did you have a comment? Looks
that
like the line
me.
Is open.
Is that? I think that's me. 5080.
Is that you? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we've had some we have had this evening some responses to what you've been sharing with us, Baba Hakima, to help us to understand how absolutely vital, how important it is to build the organization from the inside out and to get all of these support pieces in place first. As you said, get your shield ready before you go out on the battlefield. And it sounds to me, from what you've been sharing, that that is a big part of what ULU is moving forward to do in the year 2020, particularly with increasing the membership and putting emphasis on the building of the UBCs and I'm sure some other processes that are going to be going on too for education and training. All of this is going to be contributing to building that internal capacity. Would you have some other words to share with us, Baba Hakima, concerning the 2020 outlook? I'm thinking particularly what might be any emphasis that would be put on capturing the enthusiasm and the activity of our younger people, and anything else in specific that we might point to as a direction for ULU in 2020?
Yes. One of the things that, just in general, one of the things you don't want to have happen in a co-op or any organization or any structure is that a member raises their hands and say, put me to work, and you haven't, and we haven't developed the capacity to, in fact, put that person to work. We haven't thought through that. And so that's an example of capacity building and internally. And, of course, we have new members coming on all the time. But one of the areas that we are deficient in is a mastery of social media. Some of our members, a good percentage of our members came to us through just do searches on the internet and found us by mistake and looked at our website and came to the position of wanting to apply for membership. But we've got to do more on social media. So in the coming days and weeks, for members, look for more information as it concerns beefing up our marketing and media capacity. And I know the clock is running down in terms of the time that we have this evening, and I want to promote our convention coming up in March. And members, if you go to the website, and on the menu, our national convention, click on that. Go ahead and register for this year. And there'll be more information on the website shortly. We'll be getting other additional emails out to you as well. And for that brother or sister who is listening to us online or have called in, and you're not yet a Nulu member, simply from the menu bar on our website, click Join Membership, fill out the application. There is a $50 membership fee associated with membership as well, and we'll reach out to you and have a conversation with you to make sure that you understand what it is that you're about to join. But I want to encourage all of us to reach out to family and friends and comrades to encourage them to take a serious look at Ulu and what we think is a very important institution and that addresses our need not only locally, not only in the rural, but in the cities as well, of a cooperative approach to empowerment for our communities and ultimately for our people. So the building of the our capacity in social media, Nanana, is one of the things that I did want to stress. And if brothers and sisters have skills in that area, particular members have skills in those areas, call us at 404-592-2780 or hit us up on our email address is info@usliftingus.com. That would be all I would have to share, Sister Nanana, as we are looking at maybe 3 minutes left.
Well, thank you so very much, Baba Hakima. I appreciate that you've given us this overview of what to look forward to in the year 2020 and actually the decade of what Ulu is moving towards. And it's clear to me that building that internal strength, building that knowledge and that expertise are the things that are going to be focused on, and creating the UBCs throughout various geographic areas. That is definitely going to be a major piece that's going to contribute to the strength and the longevity of Ulu. So thank you so much for being with us, Baba Hakima, and I look forward to having you back on Dare to Win in the future. You always add so much to our knowledge and our understanding of what's going on with Ulu, and also helping us to understand our role as members and as owners in a cooperative economic venture. So I want to say thank you also to our listening audience and invite you to be back with us again next Thursday. We're here every Thursday starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and this is the Dare to Win program, the place where we have a sober conversation about how to build and maintain the machinery for economic self-determination and pass it forward to future generations. Thank you, and we look forward to being with you again next week on Dare to Win.
Ashe.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children to jump the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long. Judgment day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up.